Amen. Dearly beloved in Christ, this morning we will discuss Lesson 23 of the Catechism, which is entitled The Sacraments and Prayer. This lesson begins Part 3 of the Catechism. In Part 1 of the Catechism, we discussed the Apostles' Creed, the basic truths of our Catholic faith. In Part 2 of the Catechism, we discussed the Ten Commandments and the commandments of the Church. In other words, we have covered in Part 1 what God and the Church require us to believe in order to save our souls. In Part 2 of the Catechism, we have learned what God requires us to do in order to save our souls. So the two things necessary in order to get to heaven is to believe the truths God has revealed and to do His will. As our Lord said, not those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. So we must both believe and do. Now then the question comes to mind, how can we do this? How can we keep the commandments? How can we faithfully believe everything we must believe? And the answer to that is God's grace, by the help of God's grace. How do we get that grace? We primarily obtain the grace of God from the sacraments and prayer. So this brings us then to Part 3 of the Catechism, which we could call the means given to us by God in order to obtain His grace. So we begin today with a general introduction to the sacraments. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Note that it is an outward sign, something apparent to the senses, whether or not it's visible or audible, something that is outward. Secondly, it was instituted by Christ. The seven sacraments were not instituted by the Church, but by Christ Himself. And finally, they give grace to those who receive them in the proper dispositions. Of what two elements is the outward sign of the sacrament composed? The outward sign is composed of material things or actions, and this element is called the matter of the sacrament, and of words spoken by the person giving the sacrament, and this element is called its form. And the matter, as an example, would be in baptism, the pouring of water. In holy orders, the bishop lays his hands on the head of the young man to be ordained, and this would be the matter. The words that are spoken by the one giving the sacrament would be the form. Now, how many sacraments are there? We know there are seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, penance, extreme unction, holy orders, and matrimony. It's interesting to note that the seven sacraments, which provide for our spiritual needs, correspond roughly to seven needs of our bodily life. Just as the sacraments supply the seven needs of our spiritual lives, so also there are seven basic needs of our bodily life. First of all, we are born. And at that time, we need assistance when we are born into this world. And this would be comparable to the sacrament of baptism, where one is born into the spiritual life. Secondly, one needs education, training. A child that is born into the world can't simply fend for itself. It needs some kind of training to prepare him for future life. And so also in the spiritual life, we need some sort of strengthening. And this is provided by the sacrament of confirmation. Furthermore, in our natural life, we become sick. We may become ill and need to see a doctor. There are times when we need medical assistance, and this would be comparable to the sacrament of penance, which is instituted primarily for those who are sick with sin and need the spiritual physician to cure them. We also need food. The fourth need that we will consider is food to sustain our natural life. And so in the spiritual life, we need spiritual food, and that would be the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Now, finally, at the end of our lives, we die. And as we are dying and death is approaching, we need help. We need assistance. And when we finally do die, we need to have someone prepare us for burial and take care of our burial. And this, the needs of the body at the time of death, would correspond to the sacrament of extreme unction, which prepares us spiritually for our death and to enter into eternity. Now, the last two sacraments, matrimony and holy orders, are called social sacraments in the sense that they are not concerned only with individual needs, but rather with the needs of the entire mystical body. And these two also correspond to social needs of the human body. For example, in with the human race, with mankind, there is the need for marriages, families, to provide for the continuation of the human race, for children. And so we have the sacrament of matrimony in order that Catholics who receive this sacrament may bring children into the world and prepare them for heaven. Furthermore, in a society, there is a need for some sort of government, some sort of system of rulers and legislators. And so this is comparable to the spiritual needs of guidance and direction, which is fulfilled by the sacrament of holy orders, by which priests are ordained to teach and to direct, to administer the sacraments to the faithful, and bishops to govern. And so we have then the seven sacraments providing us with seven very necessary spiritual needs, very similar to seven basic needs of our bodily life. From whom do the sacraments receive their power to give grace? The sacraments receive their power to give grace from God through the merits of Jesus Christ. Can the Church change the ceremonies of the sacraments? No. The Church cannot change those ceremonies of the sacraments that were instituted by our Lord. Now, there may be other ceremonies surrounding the actual administration of the sacrament which the Church could and has changed over the course of centuries. But keep in mind, the sacraments were instituted by Christ, not by a pope, not by a saint, not by the Church, but by Christ himself. Do the effects of the sacraments depend on the worthiness of the person who administers them? No, the effects of the sacraments do not depend on the worthiness of the person who administers them, for they receive their power from God, and hence they are always able to produce their effects whenever they are validly administered. The sacraments are not only valid when the priest or the person administering them is holy or is good. They do not derive their efficacy from the person, but rather from Christ himself. Now, what must be the intention of the one administering a sacrament? In order for the sacrament to be valid, the one administering this sacrament must have the intention of doing what the Church does in giving the sacrament, which is what Christ meant the sacrament to do when he instituted it. Do the sacraments give sanctifying grace? Yes. When worthily received, the sacraments all give sanctifying grace. In addition to sanctifying grace, the sacraments give, each of them, what is called a sacramental grace, which corresponds to the particular obligations, the particular duties of each sacrament. And the sacramental grace for each sacrament helps one to fulfill the obligations imposed upon him by receiving that particular sacrament. Do the sacraments always give grace? The sacraments always give grace if we receive them with the right dispositions. All right, then, what do we mean by the right dispositions? By the right dispositions, we mean the proper motive in receiving the sacraments and the good acts or habits by which we prepare for them, such as faith and contrition. A person cannot simply go through the motions and receive grace. The person must have the proper preparation. The person must have, for example, in penance, sorrow for his sins in order to have them forgiven. So the proper dispositions have to be there. Now, another division or a division of the sacraments would be into the sacraments of the living and the sacraments of the dead. Baptism and penance are called sacraments of the dead because their chief purpose is to give the supernatural life of grace to souls spiritually dead through sin. And the other five sacraments, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, extreme unction, holy orders, and matrimony, are called sacraments of the living because their chief purpose is to give more grace to souls that are already alive through sanctifying grace. What would happen then if someone who was in the state of mortal sin received a sacrament of the living knowingly? He would commit a very grievous sin of sacrilege, because he would be treating a sacred thing with great irreverence. So that's something very important. You may never receive a sacrament of the living, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, extreme unction, holy orders, or matrimony, while in the state of sin. Which are the sacraments that can be received only once? Three of them, baptism, confirmation, and holy orders, can be received only once. Why? Because they imprint a supernatural mark, what we call a character, on the soul. And the character imprinted on the soul by these sacraments lasts forever. When you are in heaven, you will be able to see on your soul and on the souls of others the mark of baptism, the mark of confirmation, and for those who are priests, that mark of the priesthood also will be there forever. Even a soul that is lost to hell, the mark of baptism or confirmation or even holy orders is visible and will be on the soul forever as a greater shame to that soul who received those sacraments. So these three sacraments imprint a mark, a character on the soul that lasts forever, and therefore they can be received only once. When is a sacrament given conditionally? A sacrament is given conditionally when the one who administers it intends to give it only if certain conditions are actually present, of which he is not sure. Now, a couple of examples. Supposing that a priest is baptizing a baby, and he is not sure whether or not the child had been previously baptized. He would then baptize the baby conditionally, saying, "If you are not baptized," etc. Then he would go on to say the words, "I baptize you," etc. Another example would be a priest who is called to a person involved in an accident, and the priest is uncertain whether or not the person is alive. So he gives extreme unction with the condition, "If you are alive," and then he goes on to say the words and to give the sacrament. So this discussion concludes chapter 23 on the sacraments in general. Next Sunday we will begin with the discussing each sacrament individually with a discussion of the sacrament of baptism. And we will go on in detail to discuss each sacrament individually. But keep in mind that the seven sacraments were instituted by Christ himself. They are the primary means of grace. All the private prayers that we say are acts of devotion do not equal the graces that we can receive just by receiving one of the sacraments worthily and devoutly. Always remember to prepare to receive the sacraments. The amount of grace you receive when you go to Holy Communion, when you go to confession, when you receive one of the sacraments, depends on how well you are prepared. If you're going to receive Holy Communion and you fall into a routine and you do not prepare very well, then you're only going to receive a small amount of grace. If you want to receive an exceptional amount of grace, then you have to take the time to prepare. So use the sacraments well, the seven basic spiritual needs of our spiritual life, given to us by Christ, because he loves us, because he wants us to save our souls, and he wants us to use these means, to use them devoutly, to use them often, and thereby to grow in grace, to persevere, and to save our immortal souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.